And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090. Pete Gray here, Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma, with Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star, literally fresh off the boat yesterday. It was fresh. Good news about long-range fishing here. And wow, we're giving away a great prize. Phones are packed up. JT's been a busy guy this morning, but a chance to get through right now.
Yeah, this is it, man. Great times this morning. If you do want to get through, 213-432-1090. Phones are totally packed up, but we got a lot of your calls coming in here in the second hour. Again, 213-432-1090. And yeah, as Pete mentioned, man, what a killer prize. At the end of the show today, somebody's going to get to go fishing on board a full-day trip of the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. Those guys done such a great job this year. Really, really fun full-day fishing going on right now with shots of yellowfin tuna, dorado, and yellowtail on kelps. That great island fishing when those guys are in at the islands. Yellowtail and bass and barracuda. It's almost like a toss-up on what you'd rather go do. You know, a day at the islands of yanking and cranking on all the variety, getting to go offshore and be fishing legitimate, nice, good, you know, yellowfin tuna and dorado on kelps offshore trips. There's just some really fun stuff going on board that Liberty right now.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. Well, phones are packed. They want to talk to Captain Tim, so let's jump into it.
You got it, buddy. Tom in University City is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Tom, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Good show.
Thanks.
My question is about fishing 100-pound fly line. I have a Talica 20, so that's a good start. But I've never fished a heavy fly line more than, you know, 40 pounds. So I was wondering if Tim could fill us in on how to rig that. Is it a short top shot, I guess, and what hook to use? Any tips on getting line that heavy to go through the water with a sardine?
It's a good question. First, that Talica 20, that's a great starting point. That's a fantastic reel to fish the heavier line with the sardines. And I assume we're talking about sardine fishing here. 4-0 size hook, but of course you adjust depending on the size of the bait. Our rule of thumb is always fish the biggest hook you can get away with. So, and if you got bigger bait, you can step it up maybe even to a 5-0 or a 6-0. And then you couple it up with Spectra, like 100-pound Spectra. Mm-hmm. That will assist you. The 130-pound Spectra, which, you know, if you were fishing a bigger bait or fishing down below, we would want to step up. But for this style of fishing, like offshore bluefin or Guadalupe, that 100-pound Spectra, it goes through the water a lot easier. And short top shot, for sure. No more than, say, like 10, 12 feet of 100-pound fluorocarbon. And as far as actual fishing, I mean, you can cast those things great.
Yeah.
You cast them a country mile, you know, when you get used to it. But really, that's the number one thing. You know, you made mention of the fact you haven't fished live bait on more than 40 pounds. So especially for an angler novice to that style of fishing, long range or fishing that sardine on bigger gear, it's not going to be comfortable the first, you know, the first 10, 20 baits you fish. It's going to feel weird, but you get used to it. The main thing is when you're fishing your bait, pay a little bit of line out so the bait isn't having to pull the line off the reel, isn't making the spool turn. I always, like, I cast my bait out there and I'll strip off maybe 3 or 4 feet of line so he just takes the line. And then I you know, I've got my finger on the line, so I feel him swimming. I give him another 3, 4 feet. He takes that line. I'll give him that. So he's just pulling slack line. He's not actually making the reel turn. You know, just picture in your mind, especially with that, you know, a Talica 20 isn't a big reel. It's not a 50, but it's still, it's going to offer a hell of a lot more resistance to that bait, having to make the line, you know, having to pull against the spool. You can just picture that bait out there just swimming his heart out, you know, and just getting exhausted, having to make the spool turn. If you pull that line off the reel, just feed him slack line, you'll get a lot more longevity out of the bait, and he looks a lot more lively swimming, a lot more natural. He's not dragging an anvil behind him or you know, 10 feet of chain. You're going to get a hell of a lot more bites that way.
With that comes the duty of you as the guy on the rod and reel, though, to recognize, like, you need to pull 3 feet off and not 30 feet off. You know, like, I think your description was so perfect. You're pulling just enough line off to let him swim, and as you feel him take that line, you know, you can sense there's about 6 more inches, you give another couple of feet. What you don't want to do is just start randomly pulling line off the reel, thinking that you're doing the due diligence of letting that bait swim, and now not feeling what he's doing. The bait stopped swimming, the bait died, and you're just putting slack in the water, letting that bait tangle up the guy next to you.
Yeah, or the bait doubles back, swims under the boat.
Right.
Now the current got your line, you're thinking you're
totally.
Paying, and you're paying out line all right, but it's just getting worse and worse. You know, your bait's thumbing his nose at the fish swimming by
sure.
behind the rudder, and you know, as you're getting wound up and the old nightmare happens. So that is the key, though. Feed that line to the bait rather than making him pull it off the reel.
That's
great.
And so what about the connection? What are you doing when you're connecting 100 pound to 100 pound? What are you doing?
So the majority of the time, I mean, the guys will still use a crimp connection or they'll do the loop-to-loop, but 99% of the time we just tie a version of the Bob Sands knot.
Okay.
It's smooth, it's streamlined, it's quick, it's easy, and it really works good. I mean, you just don't see those things fail. When it's tied correctly, and you know, I mean, we pull our heart out on those things, and that connection is rock solid. It doesn't fail. Sometimes it can be a pain in the neck. It'll get snagged up in the guides as you're making
sure.
a cast. Sometimes, but most of the time, as long as it's on the reel, it's not right there at the point where it's snagging in the guides, mm-hmm. right when you're swinging your bait over to the release point. It'll go off. It'll shoot through there. So that's
same as the Tony Pena, not the Bob Sands.
Probably,
yeah. Now the nice thing about that knot is that it's the taper is in, the big knot is in the back.
Exactly.
So as it's going out, it's easier to cast than say like a John Collins knot, which has kind of back to back kind of big bulk on big line like that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you know, whatever, everybody does their shakes and bakes different, but that to me, I mean, that knot is so foolproof, it's so consistent, it's easy to tie. You tie a like a uni knot mm-hmm. with the mono around the spectra,
right.
then 10 times down, 10 times back up through the loop on the spectra, and you know, as long as when you pull it tight, you just straighten out the spectra, pull a little straight out the spectra so it tightens up.
And make sure it stays on that one, on the outside of that knot.
Exactly.
And then
it doesn't bunch
good.
Up into a ball.
Right.
Yeah, that thing is it's bulletproof.
Really? It okay.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen that knot on the line tester, you know, like we used to do back at the Fred Hall show. But as far as, you know, just anecdotally, that thing's 100% knot.
That's
it
cool.
doesn't break.
Yeah. Yeah. But the nice thing is if you're using hollow, it's really nice to do like Sato crimp on a loop-to-loop connection. That's the total seamless deal, right?
That's like, you know, that's the Ferrari
or yeah.
you know, the Bentley, the Mercedes of knots, I mean, or of connections, rather. That thing's the bomb.
Yeah.
It's just time-consuming.
It's,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like when you're getting it on out there at the island, and I don't think there's very many anglers who have redundancy in their 80 or their 100-pound outfits, maybe one. But, you know, you blow through a couple, and the fish are biting. You don't want to be up there, you know, sticking your
yeah.
feeding it up into the spectrum.
Right.
It's like, no, give me that thing.
Right.
Done.
When you're at Hurricane Bank
water.
Going through a couple of bites a day and you've got the whole evening, nighttime, where you're having a cocktail and you want to do your connections up top, that's no big deal. But if you're, like you say, if you're getting 10 bites a day at Guadalupe pulling heavy line and Shark ate one, you got to tangle the other one, you need something that's quick and you're back in the water fast.
Right. And then the connection, if you step it up, you know, you go into that 100 connected to 130, like big fish. Say it's all, you know, 150-pound bluefin or something you're targeting offshore. Or you're using 130 to 130, then you go crimp, straight crimp. That's because that connection is so streamlined, passing through the guide, that's the only way to go on that bigger line.
Yeah, okay.
That's
all right.
Cool. Good info.
Good info. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
We had a fun text that came through. This was from Mark in Escondido. It says, Tim, after processing these treasures from the ocean, what happens to the head, the guts, and the remaining pieces? What do you guys do in the boat, and what do they do at the processor?
What do we do on the boat? I mean, once in a while when we fillet one for a meal, you know, the offal goes over the side. The beauty of the ocean, nothing ever goes to waste. Nothing. Right. I just love that fact. You know what I mean? Whatever remnants of fish, anything you throw on the side, you're augmenting something else. I just love that aspect of the ocean. Nothing gets wasted. As far as the fish processing venue, a huge portion of that stuff goes for pet food. They
come
and pick it up. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And they pick it up once a week, you know, depending on what our production is, mm-hmm. and we give it to them. They come up and, you know, heads,
they're
gut,
stoked, fish. You're stoked.
Exactly. Everybody wins.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And then they also provide that, you know, again, heads and carcasses, pieces, parts to the local lobster and crab fishermen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And another note for those of you lobster anglers, if you want to come by Fisherman's Processing and pick up bait for your hoop nets, and this is coming up, you're welcome to do so anytime.
Wow.
Just let them know, give Sean a call, and they'll be happy to provide you. And if it's good production, guys are catching fish, they'll be happy to provide
you. Oh, you have
you
no idea what you just started.
As much as you
here.
Want. Well, we have anglers
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Sure, many.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it's readily available, great. If it's not, it's not. But just call
yeah.
and find out.
Yeah, just give them a call and say, hey, can I come by and pick up some
stuff
or guts or whatever for my hoop nets?
For hoop nets.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Talk about some good bait.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Bomb.
Speaking of hoop nets, next Saturday, we're going to have Gil Hernandez from Promar back on again, who is the lobster hoop net guru there from Promar. So that's going to be a great show next Saturday here on Let's Talk Hookup. So all about hooping
yeah,
the lobster, which is just a couple of weeks away.
It's right around the corner.
It doesn't feel like the last couple of years it sneaks up on you so fast.
Oh,
you know, in other years when, you know, the fishing has kind of started to taper and whatever, and you're really looking forward to lobsters, but when it's wide open at Guadalupe, and there's 200-pounders on the day-and-a-half boats, and there's great yellowfin fishing on the Liberty, and
yeah.
you know, it really sneaks up on you fast. You don't think
yeah.
about the bugs crawling in the day as much.
Oh, yeah, but it's coming.
No doubt,
it's
man.
Here, right at the beginning of October.
That's it.
It opens up.
All right, well, hey, let's jump back into the phones. They're packed up. John and Escondido, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And got a question and a comment. And, hey, yesterday you guys were so packed full that, just couldn't get in, man. It was from two. If you didn't get in that first 2 minutes, you were, but that's kudos to you guys and the great show that you put on. But a comment that I would have made yesterday, you guys hooked me up early on with Shimano gear. Because you had trips that you could go on, and you brought a sleeve full of rods and reels, and you got to see how smooth the actions were and this and that, and I never went to anything else after that. So thank you very much for hooking me up early on. And then my question for Tim is, if I was going to do a 7-day in December, what could I look for as far as what we would target and where we might go?
I think that it's the same the same format. You'd probably do a mix and match. Guadalupe would be a big part of the equation, but December is actually, and it, depending on the year, I would say more years than not, the coast from, say, Point Canoas down below Geronimo, from there south is actually still really productive. More Decembers than not, the water's still warm, the weather's still good. You have opportunities at yellowtail, even tuna offshore, especially down there below Cedros, Natividad, and Punta Eugenia. There's still opportunities at offshore fish, and that whole section of the coast is still open. Even the top end of the ridge, and of course Guadalupe. I mean, Guadalupe is still game on. 4 out of 5 Decembers is good fishing, or has been good fishing there for the past 10 years or so. We definitely tapers off. I want to say, you know, you kind of get towards the middle of December. We've had some trips that taper off, but on the flip side, we've had a couple of those December trips, 5 days after Christmas, 7 days, that we run into those bluefin on
right.
the way across and just kick the living daylight out of those things. So talk about win-win. You know, the main point is that the door is still open in December for a trip of that length.
To throw another potential, you know, big plus for a Guadalupe trip then, is it seems like sometimes when you get later in the year, if you thread the needle right, you can have great yellowfin fishing, and that white shark problem seems to really taper off as you get later into the year.
Oh, there's no doubt, and that's an interesting phenomenon. Not being I'm an expert on white sharks anecdotally, just seeing them and seeing how they behave, and you know over the years fishing down there at the island, but every year. At a certain time, and you never know when it's going to be. Last year, fortunately, or the year before, rather, it was earlier than later. But every year, it's usually in between like the last week of September and the third week of October, last week of every one of those sharks, or the vast majority of them, vacate the island.
Crazy.
I don't know what the heck, where they go, what they do. Yeah. I guess they go out in the middle of the ocean from what I've read, but they all leave. And I mean, within like, 2 or 3 days.
You could have them.
It's damnedest thing you ever seen. It's like there's sharks everywhere, fish getting eaten, they're just harassed, the daylight's out of you. Then the next day, it's like, huh.
They're gone.
Aren't we ever minnowing it? We only lost one fish today. And the next day, gone.
Don't see one.
And the rest of the year, you don't see a single one. They're gone.
Darn. So crazy.
It is the damnedest thing you've ever seen.
Because there's a lot of white sharks down there.
Lots. I mean, I remember reading an article. I mean, this was back in the mid 2000s, early 2000s, and they had identified like 100. If you go there's a white shark website. They identified over 100 of them at the island.
Wow!
Because they all have distinct markings.
Yeah,
yeah. And whether they're all there at the same time or there's 100 different ones that have been there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of sharks.
That's a lot of
white sharks.
You don't want to go swimming there.
No, we've thought about that in the world of you know horrible tortures.
Yeah.
Nighttime.
Oh no.
Yeah, have to swim a half a mile to the beach at night.
Yeah. I don't think you'd make it.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. I don't think you'd make it from just the mental freak-out state. Whether you get chomped or not makes no difference. Yeah. I just don't think you could physically put the arms in front of the legs. Like, there's just no way.
You're just floating off to sea.
Yeah.
Take me.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Appreciate it. With that said, we're going to find out what's biting out there. It's time for our fishdope.com report with a man, Captain Dave Hansen. Your saltwater guide. And this catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, but now with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish. They always have their killer smoked and jerky fish, the killer spices, rubs, smoked cheese, their famous tuna burgers, and that amazing poke kit. It's now all available at their new location in Old Town on Taylor Street. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And let's talk to the man, Captain Dave Hansen's on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Rick, Pete, Tim. Thanks for having me this morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Gang. Hey, guys, can you believe this bluefin fishing, man? Why didn't they just go to the Cortez to begin with? Because it seems like they got there and they've decided that all they want to do is get on boats. Man, once they got out there, it is unbelievable, the fishing right now. Just all the stories I'm hearing, all my clients calling and telling me what's going on, and I'm watching the sport boats come in with their decks just awash with 200-pounders. I mean, Tim, is this unbelievable time to be alive or what? It is.
An unbelievable time to be alive, no doubt. I mean, look at what happened earlier in the year with all that bluefin, you know, 2-3 miles off the beach up there where you guys are outside of ocean. I mean, you know, oh, back in the good old days, what do you mean?
Yeah, the good old days, we...
Yeah, of 90 to 120-pound bluefin 3 miles off of Encinitas, you know, 50 fathoms. I mean, come on.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you call the whale watch boat and say, hey, which way should I head? And he's going, well, I got 15 spots of them.
Right, that's true. So, the whale watch boats, were putting those guys, hey, we saw these giant foamers, you know, half a mile long of bluefin up there. That's true.
So cool.
Yeah, it's just an incredible time to be alive, and it's an incredible time to be fishing. And then what's going on at Catalina, it's been the most consistent bite for, like, all season long. If you know, when that bluefin and that yellowfin and the Dorado and everything takes a little break, you can swing into Catalina. There's Bonita, Barracuda, Calico bass fishing's just, they think it's springtime at Catalina right now, the calicos. It's absolutely incredible. All the bass are coming up with those, all the boys are coming up with them big glowing golden cheeks. It's just, it's a great time to be fishing. Yeah, I know we got a little bit of breeze right now, but that's going to go away. Everything's going to come back. One of my good clients called me up day before yesterday. He's coming home from Catalina, saw some dolphin in the channel 8 miles off of Dana Point. He was like, what the heck? Dave showed me how to troll through these things. He threw a couple feathers out, wham, all by himself, 2 yellowfin 2 days ago off of Dana Point. So you just don't know what's going to happen, gang. Nothing's done. Everything's biting. Everything's happening. It's a great, great time, like Tim just said, to be alive and be having a fishing pole in your hand. You got to get on a boat. You got to go fishing. I mean, listen to Tim talk right now. He's booked up forever, so you better make a reservation for somewhere somehow.
Better get going. Hey, Dave, I know you're down in Cabo. Everything okay down there?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm in Fort Lauderdale right now.
Ah, okay. You're a man about town.
Yeah. Yeah, we're building a new 80-footer, so I'm over here right now checking it out. But I left just the day before that thing hit. And, I mean, it just popped up out of nowhere. It just, you know, usually we can watch them coming. That thing just, it just hatched out of the water. It just came up out of nowhere and just came barreling in there and dumped a phenomenal amount of water in town. And they still don't have any power up in my residence area. There's no power yet, so.
But
other than that, we weren't there. Yeah, it didn't seem like it was too bad except for the phenomenal amount of water.
Yeah, all right. Well, of course, fishdope.com. Danny and the boys over there are doing a great job along with Dave's help. They're $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And, Dave, how do we find you?
Gang, check out my website at yoursaltwaterguide.com. Also, I'm very active on social media. I have a live show every day, Monday through Friday at 12 o'clock on every social platform at the exact same time. And check me out, yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I'll have another great report for you next Sunday. Thanks for letting me be on the show. I'm going to kick back and listen to Tim some more.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Very appreciate that.
All right. Again, that's going to be the wrap-up. Sponsored with Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro Series and the other great custom fillet knives from Anza. They're made with high-carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and they're easy to sharpen. Anza Knives also offers the finest fillet knives ever produced. In addition to the knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting, check AnzaKnives.com for more and get the Fish Pro Series available right now at Fisherman's Processing.
All right. Hey, the phones are packed up. They want to talk to Tim, so let's do it.
You got it. Let's jump back into the phones and talk to Dan. Dan's calling us from El Cajon this morning. Hi, Dan. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Happy 30th. Hope you guys are on for a lot of years to come. Tim, so
thanks,
when you're putting on your bait, how long do you let it soak?
Ah, the age-old question, right? The age-old question, and my answer is the age-old answer. It really does depend on the fishing. You know, if anglers around you and the fishing's hot and heavy and you know, there's 5, 6, 8 fish hooked, and you see anglers getting quick bites, you know, within the first 10, 15, 30 seconds. I wouldn't want to soak my bait more than about maybe 4 or 5 minutes. But if it's scratch-type soak fishing, you want to get it out there a ways. You know, let it go out there 10 minutes, a long way away from the boat. Two different kinds of fishing we're talking about here, too, whether it's anchor fishing or drift fishing. Drift fishing, you can really let it get way the hell out there. If it's anchor fishing and all the lines are kind of going back into the same place because of the current, you're going to have to wind your bait in no matter what within. And, again, this is a it's not a stopwatch thing. It's more of a feel thing. But I'm going to say, you know, 5, 8 minutes or so, you're going to get wound up in a giant tangle if you just leave it back there. So there you do have to judge it depending on what's going on with the fishing. But the general rule of thumb is quick bites, don't soak it very long. If it's a situation where anglers are hooking one every once in a while, get it out there. As long as it's lively and you feel them swimming, let him go out there and do his thing.
Feel your tail beat, right?
Exactly. That is the key. It's all in the fingertips. You keep your fingertips, whether you're left-handed, right-handed, you're paying that line off the reel like I was describing earlier, and you feel that the tail beat, that little tick, 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 tick on your line and your fingertips. As long as you can feel that, you're good to go.
That's one of the beautiful things about Power Pros is that you can actually feel it even when it's way out there.
Oh, yeah. It's like electricity going through the line.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. So Captain Ryan Boschin on the San Diego had a comment the other day that with this local yellowfin, he says, the guys that are getting bit are the guys that are changing their baits often, picking the right bait and changing the baits often. But that could change, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does. And offshore fishing here, local, those smaller yellowfin, that's actually consistent. More often than not, it's a quick bite thing, short stops, as opposed to, let's say, bluefin fishing, which we did a lot last year. I know the guys are doing now. Soak-type fishing. I was talking I'm going to brain fart here, but whoever the hell it was I was talking to, one of the local guys, they drifted along for half an hour on school. You see them under the boat. Mm-hmm. They're around, a few boiling around. They drift along for half an hour, didn't hook a single fish, and then, somebody 150 yards upwind hooks one.
Yeah.
Hey, they got it on for a little while, then, and it just slowly builds. And you have two hooked, then you have three hooked, and they ended up getting 30 or 40 fish out of that drift, made their whole day, but it was all soak fishing.
Soak.
Just
really?
Soaking it, getting them way the hell upwind, and we see that a lot with bluefin fishing. A lot. It's really common.
More with bluefin than yellowfin.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, although we've seen that soak type fishing with those things too, but yes, in general, more often with a bluefin. It's very common that the upswell plunker bite, as we say. The old PQ plunker. You know what I'm talking about.
All right.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. A lot more of your phone calls and a lot more of this great info with Captain Tim. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the mightier 1090. This is Rock Cod Rick for Adventure and Camping, where they bring the adventure to you. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't own an RV or a trailer, or simply don't want the hassle, let Adventure and Camping park it for you. It's simple. Check out their website, adventureandcamping.com. Select from over 75 campgrounds they serve, decide on a trailer floor plan that fits your needs, request a quote for your desired vacation dates, then just show up and start your adventure. Dallas and I did exactly that, and it was incredible. We chose a beautiful Mammoth Area campground. Adventure and Camping delivered the trailer to our spot. We showed up, enjoyed a clean, spacious trailer without any of the hassle. When it was time to go home, we just closed the door and drove away. It doesn't get any easier. If you enjoy camping in the Eastern Sierra but don't want the hassle, Adventure and Camping is for you. Check out adventureincamping.com for details. Make sure to mention Rock Cod Rick sent you for a special 20% off offer, but this special won't last long, so go to adventureincamping.com today.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say, Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I gotta tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop. Like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling I-11S and made it even better, then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs, featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all-new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand-up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar size kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at FastLaneKayaking.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Great fishing going on, and we're having a lot of fun with you. If you want to join us, shoot us a call, 213-432-1090, or always text us via that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yep, on the Let's Talk Hookup app, and only on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Here's a nice text from Gary in Huntington Beach. Would like to be more proficient at underhand casting. Can you give me some hints on better to offer a how-to video, and what situation would you underhand cast versus overhand cast? Always another good question there.
I like that underhand cast because your bait isn't elevated as high, and you know, you don't really risk a body slamming your bait on the water if your cast doesn't go off perfectly. When there's some you know, traffic around, if you will, you know, it's kind of congested at the rail, everybody's back there. Sometimes the overhand cast is really what your only choice is. I personally like to underhand cast, number one. As you're swinging your bait out, again, you get your reel, you get your spool moving. Mm-hmm. You don't just rely on the weight of the bait to drag the line off the reel. You actually kind of flick the reel at the same time as you go out, and the spool is already turning. So line is coming off the reel with zero resistance. You'll get a lot more distance that way. The other thing is go to one corner or the other and use, you know, the pendulum effect, swing your bait, again, build some momentum, and low elevation, you can really shoot it out there a long way. Mm-hmm. I know you do that all the time. That's as do I. You know, you overhand, underhand, or backhand, rather, or forehand, you know, depending on which corner you're on, you just flick that spool and slide it out there, and your bait goes out there 20, 30 feet, only 2 or 3 feet right off the water. So it just,
and that's another point too, is it's nicer on the sardine too.
That's
much
saying, yeah. Yeah, it just, avoid, yeah, just slips in the water. Yeah, like a grease snake, I say.
Avoiding the big slap is a big deal. Like, if you can underhand cast the bait, you know, 15 or 20 feet, and it just slides into the water perfect and takes off, you're so much better head than if you were overhand casting 30 feet, but that thing is slapping the water when it hits water.
You're stunning the bait.
Yeah, your bait, just, if it can just, looks like Tim, I mean, Tim's description was perfect. It's just flying a foot or two over the water, bloop, slips right in and goes off. Your bait's going to be so much better off when he hits the water and takes off than that big old boom, you know, body slam, slap, and, you know, spins around not knowing which direction is which, and, you know, maybe twitches off. Like,
and how do you get proficient? Practice. Practice.
Yeah. Absolutely. No doubt about it. I've had just countless times, again, this last voyage, the big gear in particular, you know, so many anglers come fish with, they're just amazed, you know, they come over with their 100-pound outfit with Talica 20 or one of the Abbots or the McIver or something like that, and, oh, you know, or I'll grab their rig there at the bait, say, hey, let me see that thing, and just shoot that thing out there.
How'd you do that?
Oh, my God, you know, look at your casting a Talica or a Trinidad 20. Like, what the? I didn't even know you could cast a reel like that. It's like, it's just practice. I mean, I've done it thousands of times.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between, you know, how I do it and how somebody who's less proficient at it. It's just a matter of practice.
Kind of practice.
Well, that's the beauty that we're in right now. So the 100-pound outfit is a Talica 20, and it's a 770H CalStar Graphiter. Like, because 10 years ago, a 100-pound outfit was an international 30SW and a 5.5. I mean, that
big, you know, old heavy thing.
And
get that spool going. It's almost just impossible.
We're in such a great place. The gear has made it so much, I mean, it just has. It's made it easier. It's made it easier on you to handle it, to hold it, to, you know, land fish with it. It's a 100-pound outfit now is so much more comfortable to fish with than it was, you know, a short time ago.
Yeah, I still do it. I'll be like, you know, anywhere has their Talica 20 or the McIver thing. I'm like, What pound line? Because you look at it, yeah, you don't associate that size gear with 100 pounds.
You're right.
It's like, what is that? It's got 100 pounds on it.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Push this drag up a little more. Let's yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump back on those jam-packed phones.
You got it.
I want to talk to Tim.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Dan. Dan's calling us from El Cajon this morning. Actually, looks like we might have looks like Dan might have slipped up. So how about Chuck from Long Beach up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys, and happy anniversary.
Thanks, Chuck.
You got me?
Yeah.
So, Tim, you're talking about setting drag and stuff like that, too. What listen method do you guys use on the to set drag? So are you using a scale? You just feel? How should we go about that when we're going out with you?
Well, we go about it by feel, and it goes back to that experience thing. I would still recommend if an angler, well, the first thing I would recommend is have the boys do it. You know, the guys in the crew or the captain, flag them down. Hey, we checked my drag. What do you think about this? If this is 80 pounds, this is 100 pounds. The main thing is you never want to set it. I always go a little bit. I err on the side of caution in the beginning of the battle. It's the beauty of the lever drag reel. You know, what would you say, Ricky, like 30% of your line strength, roughly 28% of your line strength, which, you know, equates to, if you're using a scale, 28 pounds or so or 100 pound. But you can always tighten the drag up during the battle. The critical time on your drag is that first run. I've seen so many anglers where, you know, if we get a little too carried away, get a little too tight, and the old thing where you've already got 100 yards of line off your reel because you were out there a long distance, soaked fishing, you get a bite, fish is smoking, which we saw a lot last trip. Man, you talk about some spirited fish. Like, yeah, the smoke. We had three or four anglers literally get spooled, which doesn't happen that often, but yeah, just bye-bye, pow, you know, all the way to the end. But as your the diameter of your spool decreases, the drag is increasing anyway. There's less line coming off the reel per revolution, so it's tightening up on you. You actually have to
go the other way
off as the thing's just smoking you. So I always like to go a little bit easy on the front end. You know, don't set it so tight that you're going to bust the thing off, because you'll gain that line back. And then at the end of the battle, when the fish isn't actually pulling against you, when you're just winding it in, a lot of times we tighten the drag up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll back that preset lever off and crank the thing down and push it back up, which is, it's easy to do. Again, the fish isn't pulling. Just clamp your thumb down on it for a second, flip it out, turn, tighten it. We'll do that a lot. You have to go a lot tighter in the end than you do in the beginning. So there are some adjustments you can make mid-stride, but I think to begin with, again, I think it's a good rule of thumb. 28% or so.
Yeah, I think that by numbers, I think that you're dead right, but I'm the same with you. I mean, I've done this plenty and work in the tackle store, but I still do the exact same thing every time I get on the boat. Hey, Blake, what do you think about this for 100 pound? And I like to fish. I like to fish a lot of drag pressure, but I don't put my reel all the way up to the strike button when I get a bite either. You know, I just push the lever forward just enough to keep the hook in him and let him burn a bunch of line off the reel. I mean, that's you want that thing swimming and pulling against drag. Get him away from the boat. Get a bunch of line off the reel, and then when the fish slows down, then I'll start really ramping my drag pressure back up.
It's funny, the natural response, and I see it all the time, as all of us do, the natural response, you see it all the time, anglers will start getting smoked, and they push their drag lever
slow this thing down.
Exactly, and I think it's just something that, you know, it's like our brain is hardwired that way. It's like, oh, I'm going to lose all my line, I got to go tight, where you should actually be doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it. I mean, obviously, I can feel it. I've been doing this a long time. It's like, oh, that's too tight, you know, back it off a little bit, let it take some on that first run. Yeah. That way, at least you got a chance.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to bust it off. I mean, God, that's the age old thing, smoking, angler pushes his drag up, pow, bust it off. Oh, it's a shark. It's like, no, dude, you just broke your fish off, you know? Like,
yeah.
You got to back off. Don't go tighter when it's running.
You want them taking that energy. I mean, I know, you know, your mind goes like, oh, I'm going to have to wind all this back in. I'm going to be here forever. This thing's going to kick my butt. But like, man, that's, they're expanding that energy.
Yeah.
Let him go blazing away and, you know, burn up.
Let
burn
him
up
do
what
the
he's
work.
Got. Yeah. And then, and then put the heat on him, wind his butt back to the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Just wanted to say, here's a nice text from a listener. I wanted to say, I use Fisherman's Processing all the time. Love their work. Question, what's the status of the 5 mil bags?
What's the status of it? I'm not sure.
I didn't know what was going on there. Is there an issue with 5 mil?
I don't know. Maybe there is. I'll tell you what. I'm probably sure he's going to kill me because if he's out of them. But I would go with a 5 mil bag every time I possibly could.
Absolutely.
The quality of the fish, especially long-term.
Long-term, for sure.
Excuse me. If you're going to keep it
so
in the freezer.
So let's explain. There's a 3 mil and a 5 mil bag. So basically the 5 mil bag is a little thicker than the 3 mil bag, which
right,
is the standard bag. And I think it's an extra 10 cents to upgrade to the 5 mil.
Yes, and it's well worth it.
Per bag.
And especially if you're going to keep it long-term over, say, 8 or 9 months in the freezer.
Right.
And if you're going to travel with it, if you're going to have it shipped,
big time.
The 5 mil is essential.
Yeah.
Because you just have to think of the amount of seal surface you get. You know, some of the seals, not many, but it does happen, especially when you're loading your freezer or whatever, or in shipping, it gets jostled around with a 3 mil bag. Some of the seals will open up or let go, where that doesn't happen with the 5 mil bags.
Now, that new location on Taylor Street, so awesome. How's it working out for the gang over
there? It's working out a lot better. You know, the other location, obviously, it had a scenic component that was really nice, but it was really congested in there. The facility itself was too small. We didn't have enough freezer space. How it was set up in the back, and we were limited with what we had to work with. So there was a lot of limitations. It's all coming through, you know, where everybody has to stop, and, you know, we're not doing that anymore. It's a seamless fish in the door, around the back, down the line, vacuum pack out the door. The freezer is twice as big. It's massive.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it's
working out way better.
It runs so much more efficiently. It's so
and then that
better.
Store in the front, like the with all the spices and the rubs and the pokey kits and the fresh fish and the smoked fish that he's selling now. What a great market he has.
Yeah, he's got it set up beautifully.
Yeah.
Honestly, because we were so impacted in the time frame, you know, we talked about it. It was just crazy getting in there. You guys have to believe that what we had to go through between the, you know, the COVID nightmare, yada, yada. But we got in. But when we got in, it was April 15th, and, I mean, it was game on.
Yeah, season was happening.
So Sean has not had time to really get the front of the house set up like he wants to, which this year in the wintertime, next year in the wintertime, he's really going to refocus on that, and it's going to be deluxe next year. It's still nice. But it's going to really...
But, yeah, and you have that nice window to watch what's going on.
That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The observation window.
Yeah. If you're not using Fisherman's Processing, you're missing the boat for sure.
Yeah, those guys
just do such a good job.
As you say, it's the table ready product.
Yeah.
You know, when the product comes out the door, and those guys, their focus is on producing a premium quality and end product for the anglers, for the clients. You tell them 1 pound packages, whatever two, they process that, all the red meat's cut off.
Yep.
So you can open your package, dry it off with paper towels, cut your steaks, cut your sashimi, you're ready to rock.
Yeah, for sure. All right, phone's packed up. Let's jump into it.
You got it. We're going to this time talk to Tom. Tom's calling us from Temecula this morning. Good morning, Tom. Welcome on Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Good morning, Tim. Congratulations on, I think it's probably around 1,500 shows, Pete, isn't it, for 30 years?
Boy, I never added it up, but, yeah, that's a lot of shows, right? Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, congratulations. That's how I know how long I've been in Temecula, because I started listening to you when we moved to Temecula. So, anyway, Tim, question, are you a mono top shot person, or are you straight to fluoro? And what's your favorite way to hook a sardine?
My favorite way to hook the sardine is I like that belly hook right under the fins that are kind of in the middle of the bait at the bottom, not the butt hook, which is farther back. There's a set of fins on the bottom of them, and I hook it right. There's a little hard bony plate, and I just slide it right under that bony plate. It's a nice firm spot. I also like that collar hook, you know, behind it, like in the neck. That's a really effective method. And then the last thing is the nose hook. If you're in a situation where you have to cast a long distance, light current, you want to get your bait way out of there. There's bites on the outside. You want to get your bait way out there. And with the heavier line, the nose hook reigns supreme because it's a nice bony area. Your hook stays in it in the bait well. You can really put a lot of extra oomph in the cast, and you don't have to worry about ripping your bait off with a nose hook. So I gave you three answers to one question.
Right.
But, you know, the point is, guys, you have for listeners, you know, everybody, you have to – there is no one answer. There isn't. You have to be versatile. Fishing's dynamic. And I say it all the time. I sound like a damn politician because you never answer the question directly. But but it's true. There is no one singular answer. You have to read the seascape, read the conditions, read whatever is available, and make adjustments on the fly. And that's really the sign of a true angler, somebody who is consistently producing results. They're doing so because they're doing different things. They're not just a robot doing the same thing every time, expecting a different result. They're making all kinds of adaptations to whatever the conditions are. That's how you're going to be more successful. We say it all the time. It's like jig fishing. It's a great example. It's like wahoo fishing. Everybody's out there casting bombs. Bombs. And then one angler's like, everybody's casting a bomb. I'm going to tie on my 6X Junior and whatever cast out hooks one right away because it's something different. You know, they presented something different, comes through the water in a different way, and that attracts a fish, that draws a bite. It's just a perfect example. You have to adapt. You have to be dynamic in whatever your approach or presentation is.
Yeah, that's well said, man.
Really well said. It's really good. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, we had another great text come through. Good morning, gents. This one, part of this was touched on, but we'll answer both. Got a question about a trip planning to Guadalupe. Is there a time or season where the shark pressure is less of a factor? Are they collecting tax year round? Also, what are the three must-have outfits for a Guadalupe trip? And would one of those also work as a big bluefin outfit? Congrats on the 30 years.
Yes, on the big bluefin outfit. We kind of covered that. The outfit, if you say you're using a Talica 20, you can put 60, 80, or 100 pound on it as a top shot. You can put 130 if you wanted, but 60, 80, or 100 pound. And then you go down from there. If you want to double up so you have redundancy, or you want 160 pound and 180 pound, 80 and 100, you can have two Talica 20s, or you can go a little bit smaller with a 16. Some of the guys are fishing 16s out there. They're doing just fine. You know, the reel accommodates that. So essential rigs, I would say 40, 60, 80, 40, 80, and 100. You can, again, you can rather than 40, step up to 50 if you need to. It goes back to this adapting thing. It's not like you can only fish 40 pound on this rig, only fish. You can use
the. Well, that's the advantage of the short top shot.
It's the beauty.
You can change as needed.
That's right.
Knowing your knots, knowing your wind on, whatever you're going to do.
Right. A moment's notice. But those three rigs that will accommodate that lines and that size with a rod that matches it, that would be what I would recommend. And then, the gear doubles. Sharks, we talked about that too. Later in the year, if you don't want to deal with sharks out there, a voyage in October or November is a better time, no doubt.
Yeah.
That's good. And,
all
I mean,
right.
You know, the fishing, obviously, your last trip was fantastic. I mean, the fishing is great through the Guadalupe season. It's just, some have lesser of it. Do you see a difference in the grade of the fish, or does that pretty much stay consistent throughout the year?
It seems like what's there in the beginning, it seems like that's what you get the majority of. We have seen the fish change sizes, different areas of move in where it would be 40 to 60 pounders early and then some 100 pounders move in late. We've seen that in other areas around the island. But early in the year can be lighter on the sharks also. We see that where like the first trips that go down there in July, there's minimal shark pressure. I know it was that way this year too. They really didn't show up in force, and that's consistent as well. The variable, of course, being, you know, El Nino, whatever.
Sure, yeah.
You never know exactly when, what, but those are some general rules of thumb you can apply.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that trip on the 18th through the 25th, which is most likely next week going to Guadalupe. A great group of guys. That's when the sharks start to dissipate, right? Right at the end of September, October, right in this period right now.
Well, I mean, this last trip was a great example. The guys were getting it was like they were 12 rounds into the battle, just bloodied and beaten and battered when we were on the way out there. And the first day, It was definitely impacted. It's like, man, these things are tough to deal with. And the second day, they went away. I mean,
they went away.
There were a few around, but it was like
conditions changed.
Yeah, one would get on you and get aggressive for a little bit, you know, and eat two fish. Oh man, here we go. And then just They'd stop eating.
Yeah.
And you get everything, you know, and it wasn't just us in the spot we were in. There were three of us there at the time, and everybody all the way up, you know, strung out along that ridge on the outside experienced the same thing. Yeah. And then our last day was the same thing. I mean, we had an incredible day. Great morning. Ended up with a ripper bite there for 25 fish in the last hour and a half, just all big ones. We didn't lose a single one this year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Pat,
okay. Stop eating them.
You
want me to get on
that?
Gets me so I want to go.
God,
yeah,
I do.
If you want to go, get on RoyalStarSportFishing.com. Grab one of those last two spots or both of them.
Yeah.
Big friend. Yeah.
This is great. You know, it's like when the rich get richer. We had, I mean, our trip was in the bag. We had incredible fishing. So it was dinner call, sundown, past sundown, and, you know, there's the end of the trip. Everybody's breaking their gear down, you know, high-fiving. And we had six anglers left that were still fishing hardcore, just wouldn't give it up, and all six had a fish on it. I mean, it was like, oh, I got to hook one more, drop the water, bam, get hit right on the boat. Like, really, man?
Got to have one more.
Got to have one. Hey, always got to have one more, right? Just one more.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup, including finding out who's going fishing on board the Liberty. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make your choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hi, this is Scott Sherman for Snap Insurance. I'm back from City Hall and ready to help you with all your insurance needs. I can provide you with the best in boat insurance at the lowest rates. But there's more to a policy than just a low rate. I know the coverage you need and will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Work with us to wrap your home, auto, and boat policy to save even more money. We can also help you with your commercial or business insurance. Call me, Scott Sherman, at Snap Insurance, 619-908-3100 or snapins.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charter is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. Check out islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 1 1/2 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details. Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato, Dodo, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Cook. I'm having a great time this morning. All right, big winner going fishing on board the Liberty. Congratulations, Mike, in Allied Gardens. You're going to have a great time fishing with Taro and Eagle. It's going to be a great trip.
Yes, he will be an expert novice on that.
Yeah, sure. no doubt about it.
Hey, Captain Tim Ekstrom, Royal Star Sport Fishing, such a great operation. I cannot encourage you enough. If you haven't been on the Royal Star, you got to get on it. And how do we do that?
You do it by booking online, RoyalStarSportFishing.com. Call Tracy in the office. You might get a hold of Brian or I. Also, we go in there with her or show forward any questions you have to us. We're always happy and to answer questions and always available when we're on the beach. And follow along on our daily fish reports from the boat when we have service, which we had a little outage this year. But anyway, follow along, RoyalStarSportFishing.com. We try to keep our daily website updated. And you guys, I can't tell you how much I enjoy doing the show and being part of this year, being part of the program for the past, 30 years?
30 years, man. You Royal Star has been one of our long supporters, and we sure appreciate everything you and Brian and Randy and Tracy and the whole team. Just fantastic.
Love it.
I just love doing it. It's so incredible.
Thank you for a great opportunity.
Thanks for taking us.
Good partnership.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Liam,
appreciate it.
Of not just you, but all the real stars. What I know, what I've shown over the years. It's just, you know, I still have a passion for this, and it just can't be matched. I love doing it. I love everyone out there. So thank you, everybody. And again, RealStarsPortage.com.
Thanks for mine. Next week, Gil Hernandez from Promar, Captain Art Taylor on Sunday from The Searcher. Great show next Saturday and Sunday. Thanks to JP on the phones and the board. And thanks to Adam for all the others on the app. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookers.